from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we're going to be joined by Jake Eisenberg, new friend of the show, recently crowned friend of the show. We're still waiting for Jake Davis, for him to become friend of the show, Michelle Cooper. Those are the two people that are right there on the cusp. You know how, Rob, you're like a fringe Hall of Famer. You're like a borderline Hall of Famer. You know, you need a couple of more years. You know, maybe you think Derrick Henry needs another season. You think Christian McCaffrey needs another year to officially get in the Hall of Fame. We got two friend of the shows that are sort of waiting in the queue. They're on the My List on Netflix, but they are certainly next up to join a very special elite group of guests.
What's the thing our friend Nick Wright does with the tiers, the club for NBA All-Stars? We need to build a graphic that says friend of the show. Like, Patrick Mahomes is in, but he's in a special class 100%. Of friend of the show. Jake Davis and Michelle Cooper, they're right there. They're next up to enter. The guard's got the clipboard, and he's saying, hey, you're about to come in, but not quite yet. Jake Eisenberg getting entered today.
So let's talk a little bit about the top story in sports, and we'll get back to the Royals here coming up in a bit. You guys saw that last night, LeBron James' kid was drafted into the NBA. He is the 55th overall pick in the NBA draft. And as I've thought more about it, I am more conflicted about it than I was when it originally happened. Maybe this is just a product of me getting older. Maybe this is a product of me becoming a parent myself. I just don't really have it in me to hate on 19-year-olds that accomplish their goal. I cannot imagine, as a kid, you go out in the backyard and you're working on your game and you set a goal. Eventually, you walk in the house and you tell your parents, I want to go to the NBA. And a lot of us had that dream, whether it was baseball, football, basketball, whatever sport it was, I want to do this. And every decision that you make over the course of your life is to lead you towards this path. Now, we know a lot of people who made that decision and never got close to their ultimate dream, and they had to do something else. Maybe you still got to work in sports, but you couldn't work in sports in the capacity that you wanted to. Maybe you had to give up on that completely. Maybe life happened, and now you got to go take a job up to provide for you and your family because life happened. But for some people, they are the special ones among us. They get to win what I call life's lottery. And the fact that you got to accomplish a goal of yours at 19 years old is something that all of us fundamentally should be able to appreciate and share in that success. What makes this so different to me is we are not talking about somebody who went through the road less traveled. Even if you want to take the nepotism part out of it, and I think that's hard to remove from this, sports at its fundamental principle is built on the concept of may the best man win, that it doesn't matter if you're black, white, Christian, agnostic, atheist, Catholic, whatever. It does not matter. If you are better on an individual given day, then you are supposed to win. And that if you work hard and try hard and do the right things and put the time, blood, sweat, and tears, that sports is going to work out for you. And what we saw yesterday happen right before our very eyes is somebody cut the line. And that is certainly one part of this conversation that is getting a lot of backlash, and I understand that part of it. Why I think it is a little bit unfair to Bronny is all of us have seen nepotism in our own lives. Maybe you have been the beneficiary of this. Maybe it has happened at your job. But all of us have seen it play itself out in real life. All of us have worked with somebody who was the relative of somebody important, whether it was their uncle, whether it was their mom, their dad, their brother, whether it was your friend that was. All of us have been hooked up at a job or know somebody who has been hooked up at a job. So the fact that the kid is taking so many arrows for that seems to be a little bit dishonest in this. But under a sports sense, I get why people feel that way. Hey, you are not supposed to take somebody's spot that is better than you. But where I think the criticism for LeBron has to be levied, did you do this for your son or did you do this for you? Because today, a lot of the conversation is not about your son accomplishing his goal, your son accomplishing his dream, his son able to join a very exclusive fraternity. There's less than 6,000 people who have ever had the opportunity to play in the NBA. It's really, really hard to get to this level of basketball. And you did it. You achieved it. But you got it in the sleazy way. You didn't get it by being a great college player, having a fantastic career. You were a first round pick and you just happened to be drafted in the NBA. No, it was manipulated by your pops. It was manipulated by one of your pops' best friends. They ran a behind the scenes campaign to ensure that you got in the league. That part is really hard to celebrate, that we are not talking about the accomplishment of LeBron's kid today. We are talking about the power that your pops has. That your dad is so powerful in the NBA that he was able, over the course of the last 10 days, for them to hire his podcast co-host as the head coach of the team, and he was able to get his son on the team. You know how much power that is? Think, we maybe have never seen a professional athlete with this much juice. They hired the guy you have been doing a podcast with for the last 10 days, and they also hired your son, who is not deserving of playing in the NBA today. Maybe he will be in 2025. Maybe he will be in 2026. I'm telling you right now, I've seen that kid play in person. He ain't helping nobody right now. So I think that's where at least I'm conflicted. On one side of this, this is really cool. The fact that the same kid that we saw at St. Vincent St. Mary's, who was maybe the greatest prospect in the history of the NBA, made good on all of those things and has stayed around long enough in the NBA where he is going to have the opportunity coming up this fall to be on the same team as his kid. That's really, really cool. But today, that's just not where the conversation is. The conversation is not about the accomplishment of your son. The conversation is about how you manipulated this situation to ensure that it would end up exactly how you wanted it to be. So that's just where I'm conflicted on the conversation of Bronny and all of this. I'm really happy for him on a personal level. That's really cool. Hey, you made it to the NBA, man. Salute to you, man. Congratulations. You did it. But it's hard not to talk about how just yesterday a former general manager said that your agent was telling teams that if they didn't draft you, that you were going to go to Australia. You started 6 games last year on a team that missed the NCAA tournament. You averaged 4 points and 4 rebounds, and you shot 34% from the field. You should have the energy of, I'll work out for anybody. I'll go wherever they want me to go. I'm just happy to be in the league. And maybe that's the feeling that the player has, but that is certainly not the feeling around the player, Rob.
So I agree with you. I don't want to spend time hating on a 19-year-old because he did get drafted last night. And I feel like the conversation has kind of jumped the shark a little bit Unfortunately, in the NBA, the 55th pick is largely inconsequential. So to crush the kid and crush the pick is a waste of everyone's time and effort. My frustration, I don't know if that's the right term, what the whole situation is, and we talked about it yesterday with Johnny Furphy. Whoever gave him the advice that you're a first rounder gave him bad advice. Well, the same people told Bronny James, you might be a first round pick. We saw the betting markets fluctuate crazy on him, but it was a foregone conclusion he was going to get picked, despite the fact there was nothing on his resume that indicated he should have gotten picked. So if we removed the James equation, his name was Bronny Jones, he would have been a good, maybe an all Pac-12, all Big 12 guy as a junior or senior, and the conversation would have never been, hey, you have to jump now. Hey, you have to enter the draft. Hey, pick 55 is going to be the biggest story of the day. That is not the case. If he had stayed in school, which I think he needed because he averaged under 8 points a game last year, if he had taken the path that a lot of college kids take, I think he would have been a really good college player and had a chance to end up at the same destination. A mid to late second round pick, maybe early second round, late first, because he is an athletic freak. But the people that were giving Johnny Furphy the advice of, hey, you might be a first round pick, and whispering in his ear bad advice, were the same people whispering into Bronny James' ear of bad advice. Hey, you're going to get picked. You have to enter. When nothing about his game says he should be picked now. I think he would have been eventually, but not now.
And this is where I have maybe the most criticism for LeBron. You, in a lot of ways, have made your son's road tougher. Think about the conversations that we have had about Caitlin Clark over the course of the last month or so. It is clear that she is a target in the WNBA. Hey, we're told that you're the Messiah. You came to save us here. All right, we want to see you prove it at this next level. Like, there is a clear target on Caitlin Clark's back that every time you step on the court, you got to prove it at the absolute highest level because everybody that is focusing on you. When you go to Summer League here in a couple of weeks in Las Vegas, it's a lot of people that are fighting for jobs. And if you ball out in this scenario, that is the difference between you being able to feed your family here in America or having to go overseas for a couple of years. Like, you got to put on and show out. Every NBA person that matters is in Las Vegas in a couple of weeks. And you put a target on Bronny's back in a whole lot of ways that your pops may have been able to get you in the door. And he got you in the door. Can he keep you in the room? And eventually, I don't care who you are, you usually get found out in sports. You got to go prove it at some point. You got to go prove that you are worthy of this spot and why you're here. Again, your pops can get you in the door. He got you hired. He got you the job. But you got to show you can do the job at the absolute highest level. So we'll see if that's the case. So again, on one side, man, I genuinely am happy for Bronny. You are a 19-year-old, and you just got drafted into the NBA. What an accomplishment. All the hard work, all the shots in the gym, all the drills, all the games that you have played. Man, it worked. You made it. You are in the NBA. You are being talked about for the absolute wrong reasons right now. People are not breaking down your game. People are not breaking down how you could help the Los Angeles Lakers. People are not talking about you as a basketball player. They are talking about you as a charity case. They are talking about how you didn't deserve anything that you work for and how you shouldn't even be in this position. And I think it is fair to ask the question of LeBron, yo, are you doing this for your son, or are you doing this because this is something that you really want to do? LeBron has been pretty clear, I think, about some of his goals. One of his goals is to own a team. He said that he wants to own the team that we all know is eventually coming to Las Vegas. The other goal that he has told us about for years is, I want to play with my son. And that's why I think, at least right now, this conversation is not about your kid. This conversation is about how powerful you are. And you just showed us over the course of the last week, you got your homeboy the coaching job, you got your kid. Who's up next? They're about to have Savannah be the GM of the team. She might be part owner of the team before this thing. The Lakers showed us they are not about winning a championship. They are about making LeBron happy and ensuring that his farewell Kobe tour happens in a Lakers uniform. Coming up on the other side, let's get to the NFL. We'll also get back to the Kansas City Royals as they won 2-1 yesterday over the Cleveland Guardians. We got Jake Eisenberg coming up in 15 minutes. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Counting down the 100 days until the Chiefs' title defense begins at Arrowhead.
Harrison Butker set to kick it off. The run-up, Butker's kick, and Super Bowl 58 is underway in a high, deep spinning kick.
Every day at 3:15 on The Drive.
Today is going to be the only day in this entire journey to the beginning of the season that you see me deviate from the playbook. Every day, usually at this time, I will give you an NFL thought. I don't have an NFL thought. There's nothing happening in the NFL today, and there's something more pressing happening in the world of football. So I rather spend my time talking about that than this. Did you guys see the ratings today for the new college football game? Now, I can admit on one end that the ratings for this don't matter, and that Luther Burden is going to give you the business regardless. That Brady Cook is going to give you the business regardless. But I would love for someone to explain to me how a team that has an over-under in the SEC of 9.5, the way that Missouri does, and is currently plus 200 to make the college football playoff the way that Missouri is, and is going to be a real-life preseason top 15 team, how they're not one of the 25 best teams on your little hypothetical little video game, your little computer over there. Kansas is not better than Missouri. What are we talking about here? Colorado is not going to make a bowl game this year. They're better than Missouri. Oklahoma State, better than Missouri. I mean, just up and down the list, this is ridiculous. Missouri's winning 10 games this year. Missouri should be ranked in the top 10, not unranked. K-State, you should also feel a way about this too. Now, you shouldn't feel the way Missouri feels about this, but you should feel some kind of way about this too, about the level of disrespect that we got from EA earlier today. I'm beside myself. Ultimately, it doesn't matter that you gotta prove it on the sticks, but it's the principle of things. I like when I see a number by my team's name. They're not ranked? You're telling me that I was better on this game than Missouri? That's what you want me to believe? That's what you want me to believe? You want me to believe that Colorado's better than Missouri? Florida State. Florida State lost everybody from last year. They're better than Missouri? All right. We just got to prove it on the field this year. We got to prove it on the real life field, and we got to prove it on the virtual field, because I'm tired of the disrespect. Missouri's making the college football playoff this year.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, here's
that list was perfection. What have I been saying on the show and in the office all week, Carrington?
Okay.
EA Sports gets it. No notes. Perfect right. Job. Electronic Arts. I have no qualms with the list you put together. Frankly, I don't even know who runs the list over there, but I'm going to send them a gift basket.
We don't know who runs the list.
They're going to get a gift basket. They did a fantastic job. When that game comes out, it is going to be pure perfection, and their overall list, which might end up being their preseason ranking list,
okay.
I see no flaws with. No notes, 10 of 10.
You think that Kansas is going to be ranked ahead of Missouri in the preseason poll?
I think the fine folks over at EA Sports that have been pumping out perfect Madden games for years and years and years, like I've always said, EA, no flaws, is going to show us the path, which is that Kansas is ranked, and Kansas is one of the favorites to win the Big 12 per the fine folks over at Electronic Arts.
I don't even know who's in the conference anymore. I'm serious. Do you know who's in what conference anymore?
I mean, I have a pretty good understanding of it. Now, I know the Power 3 pretty good.
Is Utah in the Big 10 or
Big
are they
12,
in the Pac
12?
Big 12. Big what 12. Conference is Utah in these days?
Big 12, baby.
Yeah, I don't know who's in what league anymore. It's very confusing.
Now, why SMU and Syracuse are in the same league is beyond me.
Yeah, none of it makes any sense. You say that's confusing. USC and Penn State are in the same league. Oregon and Rutgers are in the same league. That's the sport that you and I follow. Oregon and Rutgers are going to play a conference game. What are we watching?
All I know is that when Stanford takes on Cal, that is one of the biggest ACC rivalries in all of sports. When the Atlantic Coast Conference clash between Stanford and Cal takes the field, watch out. By the way, Travis Kelce, Big 12 legend Travis Kelce. I like doing that now. That's fun.
Someone on the text line, 913-586-7610. He doesn't get it either, Rob. Carrington is such a blowhard. I promise you that your school would lose to my school in a college football game this year. I promise you that. I don't care what team you cheer for. As long as your team's not Georgia or Ohio State, I feel pretty confident that in a neutral site, my team would beat your team. Very confident heading into this season. Maybe Oregon. That might be the only other team that I'm like, oh, yeah, they're better than Missouri. That's it.
Just the two.
Just those three. That's the only ones I'm going into the season like, oh, yeah, they might be better than Missouri. There's no other team I'm confident is better than Missouri.
Texas?
Confident? No. Maybe? Perhaps? Possibly? Not 100%. No, not 100%. No chance. Not 100%. Not 100%. I think Missouri legitimately has one of the five best offenses in the country this year, heading into the season. Legitimately has one of the five best. I think they have the best skill position player in the country on their team. I think they have the best skill position player in the country on their team.
I'm not even trying to be a hater. Emi Abuka at Ohio State
Luther
is
Burden's
a
better
freak.
Than he is. Luther Burden's better than him. No. I've seen that kid play. Luther Burden is better than him.
That kid's really good.
He is good. He's not Luther Burden. He is not touchdown Luther. Luther Burden, he's going to put up the season that I thought DGB had a chance to put up his last year. If Luther Burden stays healthy this year, we are talking about him putting up 1,500 yards, him putting up at least 12 touchdowns, and having a legitimate chance to go to New York this year if he stays healthy this season. I think that is the kind of year he is going to put up this season. I think he is unstoppable in their offense. Not a whole lot of teams stopped him last year.
Are you counting Travis Hunter as a corner then?
I don't know
what
he is.
And not a skill position player?
Yeah, I don't know what he is.
I think Travis Hunter is also in this conversation.
Yeah, I don't know what he is.
He's athlete.
This guy on the text line, he's a big Tennessee fan. Yo, didn't we smoke y'all last year? Like, bro, if my school smoked your school last year, why are you even talking to me? Tennessee fan, why? How can you even pick up your phone to type some nonsense to me? K-State fans, didn't we beat y'all last year? Why are you talking to me? I saw what happened when you played Missouri. You lost. You went home. You drove home in sadness. Tennessee, they put a 60 spot up on y'all last year. How dare you even talk to me about college football? You need to go pick up college baseball or something. Go pick up pickleball or another hobby. Your school's embarrassing. How dare you pick up your phone and type disrespect towards Missouri when they pummeled your program the last time you played against them? Absolute pummel. You got beat worse than question one on the ballot in Missouri. That's how bad you got smoked. Talk to me about college football when your team out here getting the business the way that they did. And Rob, if your team was on the schedule this year, they would do your team like that too.
I mean, you might see my team in the college football playoff because my team's schedule is soft. And I love it. Let's just cupcake our way to the college football playoff. And then we'll always have a moment where we get to hang up banner that said, college football playoff participant. And then,
you know, sometimes that's all it takes is to be a participant.
If KU makes the college football playoff as a 12 seed, Oregon's going to whoop them. But you know what? Making it's making
it. Yeah, no, if you get in, you don't care who you play. You don't care. Making it to the college football playoff is all that matters.
I would sign up for a trip to be sad in Eugene right now.
100%. Yeah, no, sign me up for that. I mean, I think my team's going to host that game, but, you know, it's a different conversation.
You can sign up for that game, and then that second round game where you're like, oh, boy, here comes Bama, or here comes Georgia.
They're getting the beats.
Yeah, but you know what? Sign up for that.
They're getting the beats. No, they're getting the beats. I'm going to take the Missouri over. It's 9.5. I'm also going to take Missouri at plus 200 to make the college football playoff. This is one of those seasons for Mizzou where, I mean, knock on wood, everything could align perfectly. You have the quarterback, you got the offensive skill position players, you made significant upgrades to the offensive line. You did lose a lot on defense, but the schedule lines up perfectly. That if you were going to make a serious run of this thing, you make a run of it this year if you're Missouri. Everything is in place for you to go out there and make the run. You'll be underdogs on the road against Alabama. I don't care that they lost their head coach. You will be underdogs on the road against Alabama. You will probably lose one other game. I don't know exactly which one.
A&M?
They got A&M on the road. They could lose that game. They got Auburn and they got Oklahoma. They could lose one of those two games. If those are the two that you lose on the road to Alabama and you lose one other SEC game and you're 10-2, that should get you to be the 10th or 11th seed in college football. You should make the playoffs as a 10-2 SEC team. You should make the playoffs. Now, we got to see what else happens. Like, how does Ole Miss finish? Is there a surprise team in the SEC? We'll kind of see what happens. And, I mean, who wins the Big 12? I think Utah has to be considered the favorite in the preseason, but Kansas State could win that division. KU could win that division if Jalen Daniels stays healthy. It's going to be a really fun college football season here locally. Coming up on the other side, let's get back to baseball. Let's get back to the Kansas City Royals. Jake Eisenberg, Royals play-by-play voice, calls in on his way in. We'll catch up with him. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our next guest. Let's talk some Royals baseball as you are on your way home from a hard week of work. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by a friend of the show, Jake Eisenberg. He is one of the play-by-play voices for the Kansas City Royals. Jake, man, we appreciate your time and appreciate you hopping on the show today. Let's start with this. We play a game every day where we guess the attendance at Kauffman Stadium. I thought 18,000 people were going to be out there. I was way off. They got 23,000 people yesterday. How cool was it to see the support for the Royals yesterday and that so many people came out to support this club last night?
The people that were at the K last night, they brought it. It felt like they were just waiting for a reason to erupt. And then when Izzy hit the triple in the sixth inning and Michael Garcia followed with his RBI triple and Vinny Pasquantino gave the Royals lead with a sac fly, I mean, that place was hopping. And it was an awesome, awesome atmosphere that I'm guessing is only going to get bigger and better over the course of this weekend and over the course of the summer.
You've seen this a lot in baseball, but how much do you think the ejection of Matt Quatraro, how much do you think that fueled the comeback for the Royals and really sparked this team to victory yesterday?
I don't know that I'll say that correlation is not causation. Let's put it that way. I think that there's a lot of energy in that Royals dugout to begin with, and I think, you know, Q standing up for his players, especially in that situation, like what's Nick Lofton supposed to do? I think he certainly had an argument. I think it's kind of a lose-lose situation for the runner, as the rule was explained to me. Did that fuel what happened, you know, not too long after that? Maybe, maybe not. But I think that the Royals, they've got plenty of fuel enough, whether Q's ejected or not.
This felt to me a lot like a couple of days ago against the Marlins, where it became pretty clear, all right, if you're going to strike here, you need to strike. A couple of days ago against the Marlins, Bobby Witt Jr. hits the triple, and it really sparked that team. They scored five runs in the inning. I mean, this feels very, very similar, at least where, hey, it is a 1-0 game. The offense is stalled just a little bit. You have your opportunity. Kyle Isbell hits the triple. You got to strike while the iron's hot, so to speak. The Royals take advantage of it, and they get a great effort from the bullpen to close things out last night.
Yes, yeah, something about triples in late innings over the last couple of games. But I'm glad you brought up the bullpen, and I'll toss in Michael Wacha in the start as well, because, you know, the Royals put up two runs, and those two runs were good enough to win, yes. But those two runs are good enough to win because of how incredible the pitching staff has been really on this homestand. I mean, Michael Wacha comes out and allows just one run, the only run the Guardians get. The bullpen combines for 3 2/3, scoreless and hitless. Sam Long, John Schreiber, James MacArthur were fantastic. Long especially. I mean, he struck out four of the six batters he faced, and I'm not sure if people realize the difficulty of what he did. He struck out both Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez. Those are two of the hardest guys to strike out in all of baseball. Stephen Kwan hadn't struck out in like a week, and Jose Ramirez barely strikes out. He's actually the hardest hitter to strike out in baseball right now among qualified hitters, and Sam Long diced him up. I think that performance was as clutch as Kyle Isbell's triple or as Bobby's triple a couple of days ago. Sometimes pitching performances out of the bullpen can be clutch too. And in a one-run game, a 2-1 game, those clutch performances out of the bullpen are crucial.
Right now we're talking to Jake Eisenberg, Royals play-by-play voice. I don't think anyone thinks that the Royals bullpen is, you know, what it was in 14 or 15, that they have one of the elite bullpens. But I think sometimes their bullpen takes some unnecessary arrows where I think you can point to a lot of scenarios over the course of the season where an issue like last night, hey, you need a really big outing from your bullpen and they come through. I think some of the criticism towards the bullpen is mostly unwarranted.
Yeah, and J.J. Piccolo has said that this is a matchup bullpen, not a power bullpen. They knew that going into the season, and they got the matchup they wanted last night, and they executed. There have been times where that hasn't been the case over the course of the season. I think one of the biggest, you know, issues with the bullpen, if you will, is that they just don't get a lot of strikeouts. As a unit, they have the lowest strikeout rate in baseball. But to your point, last night, Sam Long strikes out four of the six batters he faces. The Royals get the strikeouts from the bullpen in the big spots that they need. And so there is potential for that to happen. You just hope that happens more consistently.
The Royals got to this point because of how great their starting pitching was and how clutch that they've been. How good is it to finally get that unit back healthy for the most important series? I mean, this is the Royals team on paper that we saw in the early part of the season, and now you're back to just getting quality start after quality start. Their starting pitching has been great over the course of the week. Whenever you pitch how the Royals have pitched, it gives you the opportunity to beat just about anybody in baseball.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. The Royals starting pitching this year has given them a chance to win just about every single game they've taken the field for. And when you look at especially a four-game series against the team that's in first place in your division, or as Kyle Isbell put last night, the best team in the division for now, you're going to have four of your five starters pitching in that series. You know, every starter except for Brady Singer is going to pitch in this series. Alec Marsh tonight, Cole Reagans tomorrow at Kauffman Stadium. That's going to be electric. Seth Lugo on Sunday in the series finale. And having that unit, you know, doing the things that it's done over the course of the season, June was a little bit of a blip, and there are going to be blips over the course of the year. But they have been among the most consistent rotations in baseball, among the best rotations in baseball, and they've been everything that you could have hoped for or asked for.
Jake, what kind of weekend are you expecting out at Kauffman Stadium? And we started this conversation talking about them getting 23,000 on a Thursday. I mean, they weren't doing that on Saturdays some nights. So for them to get that on a Thursday is really indicative of what kind of attendance I think you can expect for the weekend. You have a big night tonight. You got Bo Jackson night on Saturday. This is a chance to be a really special weekend at Kauffman.
Yeah, and I think that even without all of the special events that are happening, I think this would have been a pretty big weekend attendance-wise. You've got a Royals team that is playing really well now, 45 wins. You know, sure, third place in the division, but competing and hopefully contending. You've got the first-place Guardians in town, and so there's a pretty marquee weekend summer matchup. That checks a lot of attendance boxes. But then you throw in the fact that it's also Royals Hall of Fame weekend. Cedric Tallis and John Scherholz honored tonight at Kauffman Stadium. Bo Jackson tomorrow afternoon at Kauffman Stadium with Cole Reagans on the mound. And then you've got Seth Lugo on the mound for the Sunday afternoon game and Cole Reagans bobblehead day on Sunday. I think you've just checked a bunch of different boxes. Yeah, I'm hoping that the atmosphere is at Kauffman Stadium. Look, I'll issue the challenge. This is year two for me in the Royals booth. There have been a couple of electric atmospheres that I've seen at Kauffman Stadium over the course of the last year and a half. Opening day each of the couple of years. The Cardinals games last year were some pretty big atmospheres. There have been some others, you know, here and there over the last year and a half. But I think this weekend has the chance to be the largest crowds and loudest crowds that I've experienced at the K, and I really hope that that's what I get a chance to witness.
Last thing here, Jake, and I appreciate your time. The Royals had a stretch this week where they went 25 innings without scoring. They had another stretch where they went 14 innings without scoring, and they just won this game 2-1. That you were certainly happy that they won. You would agree, it's going to be tough to beat Cleveland 3 out of 4 times if you're scoring less than 4 runs consistently the way the Royals have. What are you seeing from this team offensively, and what does this team need to do to get things going offensively?
Yeah, and I think if somebody had the answer to that, I don't know that we'd be talking about this topic right now. I think it's one of those things where we've seen what this offense is capable of. We saw what it was capable of in April and in May, and June has been a little bit colder just for everybody kind of at the same time. And I think that you have to lean on the fact that this offense has done it before. And we've seen them put up 8 runs in an inning. We've seen them come back from 7 down in a game before. And because they have before, it leads you to believe and it gives you confidence that they will again. And while they're in this stretch where runs have been a little bit harder to come by, you're leaning on the pitching staff. As we've seen 3 of the last 4 games now, and the pitching staff has given this Royals offense a chance to put up just enough runs. And there's going to come a time where the pitching staff might need to, you know, lean on the offense a little bit, and you'll see the offense put up 6 or 7 runs a game. I think these are the ebbs and flows of a long season. I mean, I think what tonight's game, 84, 85 of 162. I mean, we're just barely over halfway through the year, you know, mathematically. It's a long, long season. And I think that these Royals hitters, especially, you know, the top of the lineup in Garcia, Witt, Pasquantino, and Salvi, they are too good to be mired in this kind of a cold spell for as long as they have. And I think they're going to come out of it pretty soon.
I mean, that's the fun part, I would say, about the second half of the season and, you know, the final 90 days of the year, is that if you look at the wild card picture, and I've kind of at least separated myself from the division. To me, the Royals have to win this series for me to talk realistically about them getting themselves in. It's just hard to make up the ground that you have to in the division. But if you look at the wild card picture, you've got a big market like Boston. You've also got Kansas City, a small market team. You got Tampa Bay in the mix. You got the Yankees right now. That would be the wild card team. team. Like, this is a really good mix of baseball as a whole. You really have a little bit of everybody where, you know, if you only had four postseason teams, we wouldn't maybe be having some of the conversations that we have. But the fact that baseball added a couple of postseason spots, that has really opened things up for everybody to have a realistic shot of making it to the postseason.
Yeah, the three wild card spots in each league, I think it makes it more exciting. I think you've got more teams in the mix. There are more teams that have to decide, are we there or are we not? What are we going to do at the deadline? I mean, heck, if you just look at the National League, it's like all but two teams that are within three games of a wild card spot right now. It's a mess over there. And the American League has been much, much more competitive, and that'll be a tougher nut to crack. I'll say this, though, just because you brought up the division, the Royals and Guardians have 10 more games against each other over the course of this season, three more this weekend, and then they play seven times in a 10-day span, the last week of August and the first week of September. And these two teams could look very different come the end of August, early September, depending on what happens at the trade deadline and injuries and who's hot and who's not. And so as far as the division concerned, yeah, the gap is pretty wide right now. The Royals are down by eight games to the Guardians, but they've got a chance to make up some ground this weekend. They'll have a chance later in the summer to make up some ground. This division race is far from over because, again, I'll say barely halfway through the year, not even at the All-Star break yet. For me, personally, I'm not looking at the wild card standing so much probably until mid-August. Until then, I'm focused on the division first, and then the wild card spot's a nice thing to have in your back pocket. But the division race is far, far from over.
Let me ask you this, Jake, before we get you out of here. When you are riding to the stadium, what are you listening to? Are you a music guy? Are you a podcast guy? Are you just riding in silence to get ready for your day? Like later today, when you are heading to the park, what are you listening to?
Well, I'm listening to The Drive on 610. Come on.
Jake, I don't even know why I asked you that question. I knew that was the answer.
No, it's a good mixture. You guys on 610, you know, if we got a day game, you know, it's Cody and Gold time in the morning when I'm driving to the ballpark, so I'll pop those guys on and hang out for a little bit. Sometimes there's a podcast that I'm listening to, whether it's a baseball-specific podcast or something else. The other day I was listening to a Cooperstown conversation that J.P. Morosi did with George Brett. Highly, highly recommend this conversation. He's doing a series of conversations with Hall of Famers, and the latest is George. It's just a really, really good chat. I'm about three-quarters of the way through. So sometimes I'll listen to that. Sometimes I'll pop some music on. Sometimes I give a couple of buddies of mine a phone call, and it's a good time to catch up in the 15, 20-minute ride at the ballpark. So it's a good mix of everything. But yeah, you know 610's on in the car.
I like hearing that. What was the last movie that you watched? You have a lot of free time on the plane to catch up on a movie. What was the last movie you watched?
I can't say that I watch a lot of movies during the season. I watch more TV during the season, like episodes on the plane, like, you know, I've been watching House of the Dragon, I've been watching The Boys, new season of The Bear is back, so that'll be in the rotation soon. The Acolyte, the Star Wars show, those are kind of all in the mix right now. If I can download some of those and watch them on the plane, I'll tell you what I watched on the plane on the flight back from the last road trip is I was watching the—
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our next guest. Let's talk some Royals baseball as you are on your way home from a hard week of work. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by a friend of the show, Jake Eisenberg. He is one of the play-by-play voices for the Kansas City Royals. Jake, man, we appreciate your time and appreciate you hopping on the show today. Let's start with this. We play a game every day where we guess the attendance at Kauffman Stadium. I thought 18,000 people were going to be out there. I was way off. They got 23,000 people yesterday. How cool was it to see the support for the Royals yesterday and that so many people came out to support this club last night?
The people that were at the K last night, they brought it. It felt like they were just waiting for a reason to erupt. And then when Izzy hit the triple in the sixth inning and Michael Garcia followed with his RBI triple and Vinny Pasquantino gave the Royals lead with the sac fly, I mean, that place was hopping. And it was an awesome, awesome atmosphere that I'm guessing is only going to get bigger and better over the course of this weekend and over the course of the summer.
You've seen this a lot in baseball, but how much do you think the ejection of Matt Quatraro, how much do you think that fueled the comeback for the Royals and really sparked this team to victory yesterday?
I don't know that I'll say that correlation is not causation. Let's put it that way. I think that there's a lot of energy in that Royals dugout to begin with, and I think you know, Q standing up for his players, especially in that situation. Like, what's Nick Lofton supposed to do? I think he certainly had an argument. I think it's kind of a lose-lose situation for the runner, as the rule was explained to me. Did that fuel what happened, you know, not too long after that? Maybe, maybe not. But I think that the Royals, they've got plenty of fuel enough, whether Q's ejected or not.
This felt to me a lot like a couple of days ago against the Marlins, where it became pretty clear, all right, if you're going to strike here, you need to strike. A couple of days ago against the Marlins, Bobby Witt Jr. hits the triple, and it really sparked that team. They scored 5 runs in the inning. I mean, this feels very, very similar, at least where, hey, it is a 1-0 game. The offense is stalled just a little bit. You have your opportunity. Kyle Isbell hits the triple. You got to strike while the iron's hot, so to speak. The Royals take advantage of it, and they get a great effort from the bullpen to close things out last night.
Yes, something about triples in late innings over the last couple of games. But I'm glad you brought up the bullpen, and I'll toss in Michael Wacha in the start as well, because, you know, the Royals put up 2 runs, and those 2 runs were good enough to win, yes. But those 2 runs are good enough to win because of how incredible the pitching staff has been really on this homestand. I mean, Michael Wacha comes out and allows just 1 run, the only run the Guardians get. The bullpen combines for 3 2/3, scoreless and hitless. Sam Long, John Schreiber, James MacArthur were fantastic. Long especially. I mean, he struck out 4 of the 6 batters he faced, and I'm not sure if people realize the difficulty of what he did. He struck out both Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez. Those are 2 of the hardest guys to strike out in all of baseball. Stephen Kwan hadn't struck out in like a week, and Jose Ramirez barely strikes out. He's actually the hardest hitter to strike out in baseball right now among qualified hitters, and Sam Long diced him up. I think that performance was as clutch as Kyle Isbell's triple, or as Bobby's triple a couple of days ago. Sometimes pitching performances out of the bullpen can be clutch too, and in a 1-run game, a 2-1 game, those clutch performances out of the bullpen are crucial.
Right now we're talking to Jake Eisenberg, Royals play-by-play voice. I don't think anyone thinks that the Royals bullpen is, you know, what it was in 14 or 15, that they have one of the elite bullpens, but I think sometimes their bullpen takes some unnecessary arrows where I think you can point to a lot of scenarios over the course of the season where an issue like last night, hey, you need a really big outing from your bullpen and they come through. I think some of the criticism towards the bullpen is mostly unwarranted.
Yeah, and J.J. Piccolo has said that this is a matchup bullpen, not a power bullpen. They knew that going into the season, and they got the matchup they wanted last night, and they executed. There have been times where that hasn't been the case over the course of the season. I think one of the biggest, you know, issues with the bullpen, if you will, is that they just don't get a lot of strikeouts. As a unit, they have the lowest strikeout rate in baseball. But to your point, last night, Sam Long strikes out 4 of the 6 batters he faces. The Royals get the strikeouts from the bullpen in the big spots that they need. And so there is potential for that to happen. You just hope that happens more consistently.
The Royals got to this point because of how great their starting pitching was and how clutch that they've been. How good is it to finally get that unit back healthy for the most important series? I mean, this is the Royals team on paper that we saw in the early part of the season, and now you're back to just getting quality start after quality start. Their starting pitching has been great over the course of the week. Whenever you pitch how the Royals have pitched, it gives you the opportunity to beat just about anybody in baseball.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. The Royals starting pitching this year has given them a chance to win just about every single game they've taken the field for. And when you look at especially a 4-game series against the team that's in first place in your division, or as Kyle Isbell put last night, the best team in the division for now, you're going to have 4 or 5 starters pitching in that series. You know, every starter except for Brady Singer is going to pitch in this series. Alec Marsh tonight. Cole Reagan's tomorrow at Kauffman Stadium. That's going to be electric. Seth Lugo on Sunday in the series finale. And having that unit, you know, doing the things that it's done over the course of the season, June was a little bit of a blip, and there are going to be blips over the course of the year. But they have been among the most consistent rotations in baseball, among the best rotations in baseball, and they've been everything that you could have hoped for or asked for.
Jake, what kind of weekend are you expecting out at Kauffman Stadium? And we started this conversation talking about them getting 23,000 on a Thursday. I mean, they weren't doing that on Saturdays some nights. So for them to get that on a Thursday is really indicative of what kind of attendance I think you can expect for the weekend. You have a big night tonight. You got Bo Jackson night on Saturday. This is a chance to be a really special weekend at Kauffman.
Yeah, and I think that even without all of the special events that are happening, I think this would have been – a pretty big weekend attendance-wise. You've got a Royals team that is playing really well now, 45 wins. You know, sure, third place in the division, but competing and hopefully contending. You've got the first-place Guardians in town, and so there's a pretty marquee weekend summer matchup. That checks a lot of attendance boxes. But then you throw in the fact that it's also Royals Hall of Fame weekend. Cedric Tallis and John Scherholz honored tonight at Kauffman Stadium. Bo Jackson tomorrow afternoon at Kauffman Stadium with Cole Reagans on the mound. And then you've got Seth Lugo on the mound for the Sunday afternoon game and Cole Reagans bobblehead day on Sunday. I think you've just checked a bunch of different boxes. Yeah, I'm hoping that the atmosphere is at Kauffman Stadium. Look, I'll issue the challenge. This is year two for me in the Royals booth. There have been a couple of electric atmospheres that I've seen at Kauffman Stadium over the course of the last year and a half. Opening day each of the couple of years. The Cardinals games last year were some pretty big atmospheres. There have been some others, you know, here and there over the last year and a half. But I think this weekend has the chance to be the largest crowds and loudest crowds that I've experienced at the K, and I really hope that that's what I get a chance to witness.
Last thing here, Jake, and I appreciate your time. The Royals had a stretch this week where they went 25 innings without scoring. They had another stretch where they went 14 innings without scoring, and they just won this game 2-1. That you were certainly happy that they won. You would agree, it's going to be tough to beat Cleveland 3 out of 4 times if you're scoring less than 4 runs consistently the way the Royals have. What are you seeing from this team offensively, and what does this team need to do to get things going offensively?
Yeah, and I think if somebody had the answer to that, I don't know that we'd be talking about this topic right now. I think it's one of those things where we've seen what this offense is capable of. We saw what it was capable of in April and in May, and June has been a little bit colder just for everybody kind of at the same time. And I think that you have to lean on the fact that this offense has done it before. And we've seen them put up 8 runs in an inning. We've seen them come back from 7 down in a game before. And because they have before, it leads you to believe and it gives you confidence that they will again. And while they're in this stretch where runs have been a little bit harder to come by, you're leaning on the pitching staff. As we've seen 3 of the last 4 games now, and the pitching staff has given this Royals offense a chance to put up just enough runs. And there's going to come a time where the pitching staff might need to, you know, lean on the offense a little bit, and you'll see the offense put up 6 or 7 runs a game. I think these are the ebbs and flows of a long season. I mean, I think, what, tonight's game 84, 85? Of 162, I mean, we're just barely over halfway through the year, you know, mathematically. It's a long, long season. And I think that these Royals hitters, especially, you know, the top of the lineup in Garcia, Witt, Pasquantino, and Salvi, they are too good to be mired in this kind of a cold spell for as long as they have. And I think they're going to come out of it pretty soon.
I mean, that's the fun part, I would say, about the second half of the season and, you know, the final 90 days of the year, is that if you look at the wild card picture, and I've kind of at least separated myself from the division. To me, the Royals have to win this series for me to talk realistically about them getting themselves in. It's just hard to make up the ground that you have to in the division. But if you look at the wild card picture, you've got a big market like Boston. You've also got Kansas City, a small market team. You got Tampa Bay in the mix. You got the Yankees right now. That would be the wild card team. Like, this is a really good mix of baseball as a whole. You really have a little bit of everybody where, you know, if you only had 4 postseason teams, we wouldn't maybe be having some of the conversations that we have. But the fact that baseball added a couple of postseason spots, that has really opened things up for everybody to have a realistic shot of making it to the postseason.
Yeah, the 3 wild card spots in each league, I think it makes it more exciting. I think you've got more teams in the mix. There are more teams that have to decide, are we there or are we not? What are we going to do at the deadline? I mean, heck, if you just look at the National League, it's like all but 2 teams that are within 3 games of a wild card spot right now. It's a mess over there. And the American League has been much, much more competitive, and that'll be a tougher nut to crack. I'll say this, though, just because you brought up the division, the Royals and Guardians have 10 more games against each other over the course of this season, 3 more this weekend, and then they play 7 times in a 10-day span, the last week of August and the first week of September. And these 2 teams could look very different come the end of August, early September, depending on what happens at the trade deadline and injuries and who's hot and who's not. And so as far as the division's concerned, yeah, the gap is pretty wide right now. The Royals are down by 8 games to the Guardians, but they've got a chance to make up some ground this weekend. They'll have a chance later in the summer to make up some ground. This division race is far from over because, again, I'll say barely halfway through the year, not even at the All-Star break yet. For me personally, I'm not looking at the wild card standing so much probably until mid-August. Until then, I'm focused on the division first, and then the wild card spot's a nice thing to have in your back pocket. But the division race is far, far from over.
Let me ask you this, Jake, before we get you out of here. When you are riding to the stadium, what are you listening to? Are you a music guy? Are you a podcast guy? Are you just riding in silence to get ready for your day? Like later today when you were heading to the park, what are you listening to?
Well, I'm listening to The Drive on 610. Come on.
Jake, I don't even know why I asked you that question. I knew that was the answer.
No, it's a good mixture. You guys on 610, you know, if we got a day game, you know, it's Cody and Gold time in the morning when I'm driving to the ballpark. So I'll pop those guys on and hang out for a little bit. Sometimes there's a podcast that I'm listening to, whether it's a baseball specific podcast or something else. The other day I was listening to a Cooperstown conversation that JP Morosi did with George Brett. Highly, highly recommend this conversation. He's doing a series of conversations with Hall of Famers, and the latest is George. It's just a really, really good chat. I'm about 3/4 of the way through. So sometimes I'll listen to that. Sometimes I'll pop some music on. Sometimes I give a couple of buddies of mine a phone call, and it's a good time to catch up in the 15, 20-minute ride at the ballpark. So it's a good mix of everything. But yeah, you know 610's on in the car.
I like hearing that. What was the last movie that you watched? You have a lot of free time on the plane to catch up on a movie. What was the last movie you watched?
I can't say that I watch a lot of movies during the season. I watch more TV during the season, like episodes on the plane. Like, you know, I've been watching House of the Dragon. I've been watching The Boys. New season of The Bear is back, so that'll be in the rotation soon. The Acolyte, the Star Wars show, those are kind of all in the mix right now. If I can download some of those and watch them on the plane, I'll tell you what I watched on the plane on the flight back from the last road trip is I was watching the Bo Jackson 30 for 30 documentary and just getting a refresher course on the mythical nature that is Bo Jackson ahead of this weekend. Looking forward to seeing him on Saturday and getting a chance to talk to him. That's going to be really cool. So yeah, that was the flight entertainment on the last one.
I do have to get you out of here since you are watching House of the Dragon. Number one, I don't know why they're painting it like, hey, which side are you on? Everybody should be on the same side right now. Like, I don't know how you could watch season one of Game of Thrones and then be on Allison Hightower's side. No, I'm riding with Damon. I'm riding with Rhaenyra. Of course I'm not on Allison Hightower's side. How can you be?
Yeah, I don't really know how you could be either, but like, I guess somebody's got to be. Look, dragons are cool, man, and they're going to, I don't know, breathe fire against each other. I'm just looking forward to seeing what happens.
So Rob loves the first two episodes, but he's like, you guys got to pay this off in this season. Don't, like, build it up, and then have another cliffhanger leading into season three. Like, you got to pay this thing off in, like, episode five, episode six, because there is clearly something brewing. There is a war that's about to happen. We need to see the conflict in the next 3-4 weeks or so.
I mean, yeah, I'm all for that. At the same time, like, I'll say this to Rob, you know, you want a season three? Like, you want to be excited for a season three? Like, that's how this stuff works. There's going to be a cliffhanger whether you like it or not. So, you know, whatever that penultimate episode is, because that's what we saw with Game of Thrones. It was always, wasn't the finale necessarily, it was the second to last episode that had the big, you know, Red Wedding kind of twist. And so, I don't know, keep your eye out for that. That's what I think is coming down the track.
That is Jake Eisenberg joining us on the show today. He's one of the voices of the Kansas City Royals. He is a newly crowned friend of the show. He is our King of the North, Jake Eisenberg, joining us on the show today. Jake, great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
I wear that crown proudly. Thank you, C-Dot.
That's Jake Eisenberg joining us on the show today. Rob, I will say this. I am not a fan of Taylor Swift music, so I don't get the joy of being a Swiftie. You know that I am not a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so there are times that you're really excited about something. I am not really excited about those things. Not a Star Wars person. You know, there's some major pop culture things that I am just left out of, and you know I'm perfectly fine with that. It does feel good when people talk about House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones. It does feel good to know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not a super fan of the show. It's not The Wire for me. It's not The Sopranos for me. But I am watching this season. I do know what's going on. I will not spoil it for you guys. So if you are not caught up to where I am, I promise you, I am very serious about spoiler rules. I would never take the joy of the show away from you. But I do know what's going on. But yeah, I just told it to Jake. How can you be on Allison Hightower's side if you've been watching the show? How can you be on her side? How can you want their team to win? Their team's miserable. I can't wait for them to get smoked.
I mean, I'm not trying to do spoilers either. I'm not so confident they're going to get smoked. They have the biggest dragon. Like, they have, was it Viserys? Isn't that the dragon's name? They have the one that's just...
Vhagar.
They have the giant dragon. Like, they have the master of the dragons.
I just don't like nobody on their team, man. I'm not rooting for anybody on their team. I don't like the hand. I don't like the king. I don't like his mama. There's no one on that side that I'm rooting for that I want to see have any success.
Not even
in King's Landing.
Not even Christian Cole?
No, I don't want him to win either. I was cheering for him when he was with Rhaenyra. I'm not cheering for him right now while he's sleeping with the enemy. No.
The only part that has me a little bit weird is that Daemon is Rhaenyra's uncle, which I can't seem to get over for some reason.
Yeah, that part, I don't know who's related to who anymore. I never know. Oh, this guy, that part of the show, I don't even pay attention to anymore. I can't keep up with it. Oh, this person is this person's nephew and niece. And no thanks. That part, I just try to completely skip past all of that. I would encourage you, if you are not watching House of the, you don't even need to watch Game of Thrones to catch up. You don't even need to watch it. Just watch season one and season two, and you can be caught up, and you can know everything that we're talking about. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, let's talk about tomorrow's Royals game, because tomorrow is Bo Jackson night at the park. I want to ask you guys a question about Bo Jackson, and today is one of the most bizarre anniversaries in sports. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.